You are now listening to The Social Hour.
All right. Well, welcome to The Social Hour, everyone, with the Typical Bastards. I am Deese.
And I am Brian.
This is our inaugural episode, first episode. How's it feel?
The pilot. It feels good, man. We've been building up to this for, what, 2 weeks now?
No, it's 2 months. I was going to say, we're a little more prepared than 2 weeks.
Slightly.
You know, but not that prepared, so don't feel like you're going to be overwhelmed or blown away.
There you go. Still working out the kinks. We're not quite getting some deal offers from, you know, Sirius Satellite, but we're on our way there.
Well, we're fielding offers. We're, you know, we're letting our agents deal with that. I feel like they'll decide what's best for us. I trust in William Morris. You know, only the best for the Typical Bastards, so...
Hold out for the $100 million a year Howard Stern money.
Yeah, I want Stern money, man. I want Stern money. Yeah. I don't want to happen to... what happened to Anthony from Opie and Anthony to happen to us.
Yeah, no thanks.
Did you hear about that?
I did.
Yeah, poor guy. You know, when you can't... You just... What's a white guy to do? Can't go on a racist rant anymore without getting fired. It's like, what's America come to?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Don Imus... Exactly, you know, you can't make comments, can't go on a racist rant, everything's too PC.
I mean, come on, let's be real. It's not like he wasn't accurate.
It's true. It's true. People want to put on the blinders.
Let's not get kicked off the air before we start.
Yeah, good point. But here we are, Typical Bastards Studio in lovely downtown Spokane. Hottest weekend of the year so far.
I know.
Keeping cool with a couple of nice refreshments provided by New Belgium.
That's right.
Thank you. Not a sponsor. We're not plugging them.
Not yet.
It is a good beer.
You know, a given time. So you might hear a couple gulps here and there.
A couple bottles opening.
You know what? I'm really... I do this every goddamn summer, and I swear, one year I'm going to learn. Every summer... I am on vacation from Spokane during the hottest week of the year. And I always leave around the same week. I mean, I'm going to Portland on Tuesday. And every week, this is the hottest part of the year. And I come back, and then it's back in the 80s, and that's the rest of the summer.
That's a good point. I never thought about that, but you do that in the, what, 4 or 5 years I've known you?
Yeah. So.
That's true. Every summer you go on vacation. And I feel like we always have a discussion. It's like, damn it, I planned it. And bam, here comes the nicest week.
I'm a quick learner. I'm a good student here. I'm a very, that's what a Mexican with a GED will get you.
But you do have car insurance,
that's true.
You're breaking the stereotype.
But I do love the Raiders, and I own a pit bull, so...
Well, there we go.
What are you going to do? I can't... I've never stabbed anyone, though, so...
Well, you're not Puerto Rican.
Well, so. That's true. Yeah, that is true.
All right, good.
So what's going on today, man? Let's get into this, get in the mix. I feel like the people get to know us a little bit.
Let's do it. Kicking it off, I want to talk about downtown Spokane, which is where I live, hang out, give my business to. You spend a substantial amount of time downtown as well.
I do.
And for anybody that knows me, one thing I hate more than almost anything are fucking meter maids. You know this.
I was unaware.
usually,
last time I saw you baking a cake for him, just for, handing cupcakes out to the meter maids, saying thank you for your service.
Thanks for keeping the streets safe, sir. Yeah. Useless pieces of shit. Anyways, rhetoric aside, I discovered that they have recently started doing a late night shift. And according to some bartenders I was talking about downtown, downtown last night, saw them out on a Saturday night, 11 p.m., two meter maids walking around on foot.
For what?
Here's what they're doing. Get this. This is the real bullshit. They go around after hours, and they check cars that are parked in loading zones only.
Oh,
and they
Jesus.
Ticket that. That's exactly what they're doing. Yeah, so if you're parked in like a 10-minute only spot or a commercial loading zone, if you're parked in there after 7 p.m. on the weekend, the meter stop, they're going to ticket you.
Oh, my God.
Here's why it pisses me off. The people that are downtown on the weekends are obviously spending money at bars and
That's
restaurants.
That's all they're doing.
Yeah, they're supporting the economy downtown. It's after hours. No one's making a fucking delivery downtown on a Saturday night at 11 p.m.
No.
So who cares
unless
if they're parked
a Coke
there?
Dealer.
That's true. I don't think the city sanctions that.
They're not parking in any of those. I don't think they're loading only that much cocaine. You know, that's...
probably not. And they're not going to have
the city stickers anyway. This isn't the bathroom of the Suki. That's where the cocaine's getting loaded and unloaded.
Good point. Now I'm going to get shot. Thanks, Dick.
Well, you know, it's... it's not my fault you live by there, so just duck.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's a new thing. I don't know how long it's been going on for. I couldn't find much online about it. But I've seen them around a couple times, and I bumped into them last night officially, and they were telling the Spokane party trolley was actually bombing around and was dropping some people off next to the curb, and they actually come up to the party trolley, and they go, hey, if you people are getting off, you need to get off now so you can move the trolley, or I have to ticket you. I'm like, what a buzzkill. Because they're not in a designated parking spot on the curb?
It's, what is it about, like, our government, the city government is fucking idiots until they have a way to extort money from us.
Mm-hmm.
Until they're making money, they don't give a shit, and they don't know what the fuck they're doing. They're like a bunch of fucking retarded chimps. And then all of a sudden, they can make some money off of us, and they're geniuses.
Yeah.
Like Stephen Hawking and all this shit they're doing. I don't understand why, you know, how much money are they paying these guys, and then the money they're getting back? Are they even getting back the money they're putting into these guys to be on the streets late at night?
Yeah, logic would dictate that they are, but who knows?
It's insane. They don't do anything to improve. They only find ways to get more money out of us.
Yeah.
You know, they like these meters now. They've started installing these meters downtown where you have the one unit separate from the car. There's just the one unit on the block where you go, you get a ticket and you pay, and for X amount of time you put it on your window. But then what happens when you leave? You don't get those rollover minutes. Nobody gets that.
Yeah.
That just goes straight into the pocket of the city council or this, you know, the mayor, whoever. You know, the city's getting that money. Those are my goddamn minutes. Those are your minutes.
You paid for those.
You paid for those. You should be able to do whatever you want with those minutes. If you want the next person to have them, they should be able to have them.
Exactly.
You know, but it's, you know, it's how much do you think those machines cost to install?
Couple thousand,
and all
at least
you'd think at least, and all it is a way for them to get another nickel and dime here, mm-hmm. instead of, you know, just letting it roll over. Well, that's 17 extra minutes that someone may have got for free. You know, the 17 cents they put in the goddamn machine.
Yeah,
they can't go without not getting that.
True.
How broke is this city?
Well, you would think they would be very broke, so they're nickel and diming us for every last thing. You know, and you ask one business owner downtown, if you actually go on the parking enforcement website, it's like parksimple.org, not plugging that, just point it out, they talk about how they've got the time limits set and in place to encourage turnover so that more customers can theoretically come in. I know a lot of business owners downtown, as you do, and we've all talked about the meter maid situation. None of them like that rule. Nobody wants that option because it encourages people to leave. It keeps people from coming downtown.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, if these people are down, do you think somebody parks downtown and gets on a bus to the fucking north side?
Yeah.
Like, nobody's going to the plaza and taking the express all the way out to Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah.
They're not feeding the meter, then jumping on a bus somewhere. They're downtown doing something.
Exactly.
You know, who cares if it's them or the next person coming downtown?
Exactly right. And yeah, case in point, a couple years ago, do you remember when the meters went from, it was either 5 or 6 to 7 p.m.? They got pushed up. There was a lot of hype, you know, a lot of hubbub about it.
Yeah.
And people stopped coming. I remember hearing from some bartender friends at the Onion. Some of their regulars quit coming down for happy hour.
Are you sure it wasn't just because the Onion is a piece of shit?
it's
the meters. I don't like the meters. The food. No, the food is great.
Yeah.
It's hot. No, do you deliver? You don't. That's too bad. Okay.
Yeah, well, that could be it. They're blaming it on
good
the meters,
excuse.
And it goes with the story, so we'll work it out. But yeah, so they're like, well, we're not going to come down for happy hour and pay the meters till 5. I mean, yeah, it's just a couple bucks, but it's the principle of it.
Right.
It's discouraging business.
It is. You know, I think, I wish they did free meters on Saturday, too.
They should.
Do you know how many people downtown would come downtown, especially now that... Like, there's limited public parking downtown with, you know, now that they eliminated that lot where the new hotel is going to go across from the convention center. That was a whole city block. What do you think that was? Probably 200 parking spots?
More than that. More than that, I'm sure.
With the perimeter around that block and
that
in there, I mean, yeah, and now that's all completely eliminated.
Yeah.
So parking is even more tight. So maybe be a little more lenient, get people to actually encourage people to come downtown.
Yeah.
They always talk about building business downtown, but they don't do anything but deter people from downtown.
That's exactly right, and it's the city doing that single-handedly.
I don't understand it. Stupid city, stupid state.
Downtown Coeur d'Alene, granted, it's not as big as downtown Spokane, but that shouldn't matter. It's still a high-traffic area in the summer. There's no meters there. They do try to limit it to two hours, but you don't have to pay.
Right.
And then encourages commerce, you know?
Right. And, you know, I've parked for more than 2 hours, never got a ticket. Worst case scenario, you have to move your car occasionally.
Yeah.
You know, they have a couple big parking lots where you can park for, it's like $5 all day, too. You know, if you're going to go down there in the morning. You know, the all-day lots here, like 18, 20 bucks or something like that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine having to work downtown.
No.
I know a lot of guys, actually, I know business owners who literally have to wait to pay their, to get their tabs for their cars because they've got so many back tickets.
Yeah.
You know?
I've heard about that. Now they're doing the boot. If you owe tickets, they will boot your car. And you mentioned a good point about having to move. That's the other asinine rule here. When you're, say you're on a two-hour meter. When it expires, the rules state that you're supposed to move your car.
Yeah.
I've actually seen, and this is the truth, I've seen meter maids ticket people because they're coming out to feed their meter, to replug it,
yeah,
and they'll give them a ticket because or a lecture if they're feeling nice that day about how you're supposed to move it. It's like, well that's retarded. I work downtown, or
yeah,
I'm downtown shopping still.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't shop anymore. I have to move my car. So that's retarded. Not only that, but what? So, okay, cool. So I pull out of the parking spot and move into the one right next to it, then that's okay.
Right, that makes sense. Well, then we're okay.
Apparently,
sure,
yeah.
It's fine.
That's
just
okay,
just move
then.
Your car. Like, exactly. Or how stupid are we? Really? How stupid are we? Are we that, like, is that what makes it better? Is that what makes it okay? We're going to say that, yeah, you move one slot, now all is forgiven. It just starts over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why is that necessary? Can we just, like, forget about the... It pisses me off so bad. Just like,
yeah,
it's spirit of the law and letter of the law.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Jesus Christ. The guy's who cares if he's feeding the meter or someone else is? What's the difference?
Exactly.
You're getting your money. Who cares? Do you want these people out of Spokane that badly?
Yeah.
Like, should we just put a curfew on downtown Spokane, gates around it, and only let people in by appointment only?
Until we probably should.
Like, it's going to be like Escape from L.A. or except
yeah,
the reverse, you know, Escape to Spokane. I don't know how that...
Yeah.
Where's Snake Ripkin or whatever the fuck his name was. Or
yeah.
What was his name? Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell.
His beautiful hair.
Yeah. Lustrous mane.
Yeah. yeah, it's amazing the things our cities and states do.
For the good of us.
For the good of us, of course.
They're so thoughtful.
Yeah. It actually brings a good point. I was looking at this article the other day. I found this article on Yahoo. And it says, do you know your state's official pet?
Do I give a shit?
Right. Well, that's the correct answer. Thank you, sir. What my question is, like, are we fucking, are we out of problems?
We must be.
Like, let me ask this. Have we, you know, have we solved the deficit? No, is welfare assistance gone? No crime?
Last time I was at Walmart? No.
No. Yeah, right. That I was in Walmart today, actually,
mm-hmm,
and I'm, you know, because I made the great life decision to go to Walmart on a Sunday, and I'm sitting there in line,
good,
and I'm like, and I'm thinking as I'm looking around, I'm going, I go, what's the EBT card to credit card ratio in these lines? Like, what's the payment option? Like, what do you think it is? Credit EBT to actual, like, credit card?
Probably 80%.
80% EBTs?
Yeah. I would not be surprised.
And I'm not talking like Amex black cards. I'll take a Russell Simmons prepaid Visa card at this point.
Diners
like,
Club.
Yeah, like anything.
Yeah.
Anything. A Providian, you know, whatever. The low,
CSL,
you know,
like, plasma cards.
Yeah, something besides a goddamn EBT card. But I mean, seriously, have we run out of problems? Do we have no crime? You know, 100% high school graduation rates?
It's up there.
So, okay. So what is our Congress and our states doing that we have time to pick out our fucking dog? What our pet?
Because this is an official thing. Like, it's an official state thing, right? So,
yes,
obviously some official, like, do people vote on this? Like you said, who's got the time? Like, well, we need to pick a state pet. Let's, let's vote.
Some states made formal declarations, while others had petitions.
Okay.
So, you know, do you want to know what Washington's is?
Washington?
This will probably be on your next naturalization test.
Most.
So you should know.
Beware, Mexicans.
Yeah, right. Yeah, all you in Yakima, you're going to have to know. You're going to need to know what this state dog is.
Stop picking apples for 1 second and brush up on your state pets.
It is.
Wait, let me guess. Wait, is it pet or like a dog?
Well, it says pet, but they're all fucking dogs. They all ended up as dogs. So
is it the Washington, is it the Husky?
It is. The Siberian Husky.
No shit?
Yeah.
Okay. I totally guessed that just because, I mean, Washington, you know, UW Huskies.
Yeah.
I assumed I'd have to go with that, but who knows.
So, and you know, it fits. I feel like there's, you know, lots of Huskies in Washington.
Does any state have the Shih Tzu?
It doesn't say. This doesn't give me all of them yet. I think I just got the truncated version. Colorado's just says cats and dogs. That's you know what? Maybe they shouldn't have legalized weed in Colorado. There's like, what's your favorite pet? Cats and dogs. Just like cats and dogs. I like fluffy things. and they were just talking about more weed. This is everyone got a okay. Of course, Maine. Maine had to be the only one that chose a Maine Coon. They're like an asshole. Everyone else has got a dog, and then they want to be like, can we get a cat? Except for Colorado, who's just like...
Oh, I want to point out this dog right here. Go back a page. Yeah, this one here. This is good podcast. You can't see it.
Yeah,
the Boston Terrier. They're cute dogs, but look at that fucking smile. He looks like the Joker.
Yeah, he does.
It's just big-ass, wide-open, creepy-ass nightmare smile.
He's a little, Yeah, I don't want to wake up with that thing next to me. I have woke up with things like that next to me before, though. Too many shots of tequila, and I'll wake you up. Like, ooh, my God.
That'll happen.
That is not good. But yeah, anyway, our state's obviously working on a lot of good things. Raping the citizens and voting what our favorite dog is.
It's high on the priority list, man. People got to know.
Well, they're making good progress. I can't wait. I wonder what's next. You know, we've got to be... you know, free cars for everyone soon, I'd imagine.
No,
minimum wage $20 an hour. You know, it's got to be.
Let's keep it going.
So, yeah, anyway.
So what else we got?
Well, speaking of stupid things and stupid people, this is a Subaru car, Subaru automobile, popular automobile among Washingtonians and lesbians.
When it comes to the lesbians with the Subarus, aka the Lesbaru, it's always like a used, like, 1997 Outback.
I see a lot of Foresters, too.
Older Foresters.
Yeah. So, at first blush, this seems exciting. They have innovated some technology which is called EyeSight Camera.
Okay.
And I don't know, have you heard of this?
EyeSight camera, no.
What this is it's a sensor in the car that actually senses when you're coming too close to a vehicle and brake assists for you so you don't hit them. They've done tests where it actually senses what a car looks like because they will, they've done simulations of a car on a wall and then done the crash test of it driving at the wall and then it'll brake itself.
Interesting.
Okay. At first blush... Interesting. Seems good, right?
Interesting concept, yeah.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Aren't we fucking checked out enough? When we're driving, we're in, like, comfort control, we got our iPod in, we got the massager and the heat warmers and all this shit, like, cruise control.
16 cup holders.
Yeah, it's like, how much do we not want drivers to pay attention?
True.
Like, shouldn't these people, like, really... I want people to be more focused on the road.
Yeah. Exactly, and you know me, I get a little worked up over some pretty petty shit sometimes, one of them being people that don't use blinkers. People don't use fucking blinkers all the time, because they're just so airheaded. It's like, it's too much for some people to make a left turn and use a blinker. I'm sorry, your tiny brain can't handle that. So, yeah, we don't need to make them even more lax.
Right, I mean, I swear to God, as drivers, we are not going to be happy until we're getting fucking blowjobs and being hand-fed filet mignon by midgets on our commute. It's like, Jesus Christ, just drive. I want a feature that, like, out of the ashtray comes a lit cigarette and randomly burns you in the thigh, just to fucking keep you awake and make sure you're paying attention.
That is
what I want. But here's my main concern. From a litigious standpoint, this is a disaster.
Sure.
This is a disaster waiting to happen. I mean, if it goes wrong, if something goes wrong...
So what happens exactly? If it senses an animal on the road, it applies a... It starts braking automatically? Like it reduces your speed?
Right. It's active braking and collision warning. But as far as I know, it only works... It only senses... It scans the road ahead for cars or collision warning, something big enough. So it can see lane markings and determine the car's position within them.
Okay.
The adaptive cruise control can bring the car to a complete stop from a speed of up to 87 miles per hour. The system won't get the car going again on its own. Yeah, it's all... But it really is setting up a 3D display of the road inside the internal computer.
Okay.
And adjusting. You know, we've all seen Maximum Overdrive. You seen Maximum Overdrive? Maybe we all haven't seen that.
No. I mean, shit, I still haven't seen Jaws.
Yeah, that's true. It's an old Stephen King movie where all the cars come to life and everything. Electronics come to life and the cars come to life. Or there's the Duel. Is that it? The Duel? Where that trucker, that ran, I guess the trucker has a, there's actually a trucker driving the truck anyway. Anyway, but what I want to know, if it goes wrong, whose fault is it? Is it the owner's fault? Is it Subaru's fault? Because, I mean, this is Subaru's technology, so who's backing this? Do the insurance companies pay for it? But it just, from a litigious standpoint, it sounds like a disaster.
It does.
You know?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it's like they talk about in Fight Club, when they in the movie Fight Club, when he's talking about the car industry, is they figure out, okay, X amount of accidents happen, versus how much it's going to cost them in lawsuits or whatever. That's when they do a recall,
right,
or whatever. And it sounds like that kind of thing. This new technology they're putting out there. Something goes wrong, of course, people are going to try to blame the car manufacturer.
Well, right, you're not going
to... I hit a deer, and it fucked up my car, and made me swerve. The car was supposed to brake for me.
Right, I had eyesight technology. Why didn't my car brake for me?
Yeah.
You know, smart countries like Japan and Germany can handle this shit. Like, we... America, we can't fuck...
The car didn't brake for me!
Yeah, because we want to... We need to blame someone. I mean, we need to blame someone. We need to sue someone. We need to, you know...
I don't know if this is urban legend. I feel like everyone's heard this story, so I don't know if it's just urban legend or if this is true, but some asshole driving a Winnebago RV on the freeway put it on cruise control and like went in the back to party with everybody or do whatever. It runs off the road, crashes. He wanted to sue Winnebago. Supposedly, he won. I have a hard time believing that portion of it. Maybe some guy actually tried to sue Winnebago under the grounds that... it was on cruise control. It's supposed to drive for me. Right. Well, everyone knows that's not how cruise control works. So I believe maybe some asshole tried to take Winnebago to court over that. I can't believe the same judge would actually rule in his favor. But that's the point, though. It's like, that's just going to give people an excuse to try to sue Subaru if something goes wrong.
Yeah, we don't need more excuses to be sleeping on the job. We need to get people awake and alert and like involved in... involved in life a little bit more. That's the ice machine pouring us another little cocktail there, or popping us a top. Thank you. Another New Belgium.
Yes, sir.
Because we're professionals.
Yeah.
We're going to drink all our beer before our guest gets
before Rockwell shows up.
We do have a guest coming in tonight.
We've got 18 beers. Hoping he'll drink 9 each before he rolls in.
Well, we've done worse. Yeah, it's like, you know what, it's funny, did you hear about this guy, he's at a baseball game, Red Sox, Yankees, this was just last week.
Red Sox, okay. Yankees game.
Yeah, so, which we all know, big rivalry, right?
Huge rivalry. I'm not even a sports guy, and I understand the colossalness of how big that is, yes.
Right, he falls asleep in the crowd.
Okay, which stadium is this at?
I want to say he was there at Yankee Stadium.
Okay.
I got a 50-50 shot.
He falls asleep in the crowd, so it must have been like after inning 7, because
it could have been before.
You have to be like the most hardcore baseball fan to like stay awake past like inning 5.
If you're not in the beer garden, yes.
True.
It could have been during the national anthem, who fucking knows. So it's a nationally televised game.
Okay.
So they, naturally it's on ESPN.
Of course.
Camera fine, just panning, happens to see the guy.
Well, just zonked out right there.
Zonked out. The announcers start kind of commenting on him, okay? And he ends up on ESPN, you know, et cetera. It's, you know, probably on the top 10, like the not-so-top 10 plays that ESPN does.
Right.
And, you know.
That is a fun segment.
It is. It's my favorite. There's a lot of WNBA plays on there. Not so top 10. Every WNBA play tonight.
Let's be real. That segment wouldn't exist without the WNBA.
Yeah, without WNBA and like softball.
Yeah. True.
Lesbians like to call match.com. So the he falls asleep, and he finds out about this, obviously. You know, he sees it. People know who know him see it. He's suing MLB for $10 million for defamation of character. And,
oh, my God.
He's mentally distraught, and he can't give, you know, I mean, emotional distress.
Because of his fucking job. Like, what does this guy look like? Was he, like, a fat slob?
Yeah.
He's so fat, yeah. So at this guy's job, whatever he does, he probably works at, like, fucking some carpet factory or something. I don't know.
Sure, yeah, I'd say. He didn't look like a brain surgeon.
Yeah, so...
He didn't look like he was probably, saving lives.
Probably lays carpet for a living or something like that. You're going to fall asleep on the job? Like, what, his buddy's ribbing him, and so he's got to, like, sue over that?
Well, hold on, wait. Is it New Yorkers being assholes to each other? There's a fucking shock.
Yeah.
Right? Like, who'd have guessed? No, it's just your asshole friends. Move to Nebraska. People will be nicer to you. Mm-hmm. Don't fucking live in New York anymore. That's your fucking problem.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But the sad thing is he's going to get money. They'll probably give him, you know, $2 million to just make him go away, you know, or half, or, you know, $1 million just to say, hey, okay, go away. We don't want to, I mean.
I hope not out of principle. Like, I hope they take it to court and hope the judge is like, are you kidding me? You're at a baseball game. You know that these things get televised. That's up to you. You fell asleep. You knew it was going to, that, fuck off. But, I can't imagine a sane judge would give this guy money.
Well, you have to, the way our legal system is now, it's so arbitrary. You can just because you can sue over how something made you feel, and feeling, you can't prove how something made you feel.
Yeah, true.
You know, so you can even like assault. You can assault doesn't even have to be physical harm anymore. You can feel threatened and sue. I mean, that's the way our society has gone. It's back ass words. I can't wait. We need to go. I was actually talking with a lawyer the other day, and he's not a lawyer yet. He's about to, take the bar this week. So he's not a lawyer yet. He's hoping for it.
Mm-hmm. Friend of yours?
Actually, a guy I just met at a brewery the other day.
Okay.
Just guy hanging out. Just graduated from Gonzaga Law. So, you know, good law school. But he, you know, we need to go to a loser pays system.
A what?
A loser pays.
Okay.
So if, right now it's not loser pays, where if this guy sues MLB, they go to court, MLB proves their innocence, they're not guilty in this matter, they can go countersue this guy, or this guy has to pay for the, not countersue, but this guy has to pay for their lawyers.
That's how it is currently, isn't it?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought
it's not a loser pay system. It's not a loser pay system.
I thought it was. Isn't it under some circumstances, though? Isn't it?
Well, you can countersue, and for to get your and countersue and try to, recoup some of your losses for the lawsuit, but it's not guaranteed.
Okay.
Whereas, you know, in some places they have a loser pay system, like in England. And this, it really deters a lot of frivolous lawsuits.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Because, I mean, if you...
Why don't we have that?
Oh, because... do you think the lawyers want that?
No.
Do you think the Trial Lawyers Association wants that? No, not at all. They want to be able to go after anyone, anytime.
Yeah.
You know? That's where they make their money. So, they just spray it out there. I mean, they sued MLB, ESPN, the two announcers, and they just hit as many people as they can, throw as much shit at the wall and hope something sticks, and they're going to make money off it. They wouldn't have taken the case if they didn't think they'd make money.
True.
You know? It's really...
Yeah, you know, exactly. And half these lawyers are like, you don't pay a dime until we win.
Right.
Which just encourages it. It's like, oh, maybe I've got a case. I don't know. I'll call one of these asshole lawyers. I see on a fucking bus bench somewhere.
No shit.
And see if I can make something out of it.
Well, any decent lawyer like that is going to know that MLB... You're talking Major League Baseball?
Yeah.
That's a whale.
Yeah.
They're going to pay because they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to go to court. They don't want the bad press. They're just going to be like, okay, sorry, guy. We pay you some money. Go away. Shut up. We don't want to hear from you again. Here's season tickets to the Yankees. Fuck off.
True.
And that's it. That's the way it's going to be. And that's the society. It's a perfect society we've crafted.
Must be.
Where we can sue anyone for everything, and we have every state's got a dog. Good job. This is what we've succeeded to. In 2000, this is the utopia our founding fathers had envisioned, I imagine.
you asked me about America as the land of opportunity. You know, that's why foreigners overseas wanted to come here, because you know what? Every state has its own dog. Let's go live there. That's where the dreams come true.
Right. Do you think in, Tikrit, they get their own dog over there? Or, you know, Mosul? They don't have a dog there. Or Bangladesh, they don't have a...
You telling me they don't have their own state quarter?
State quarter? Yeah. They don't have a quarter between a whole village over there. If they had a quarter, they'd be happy.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Good old Sue Happy people.
It's terrible. So,
So speaking of sports, question for you.
Yeah.
If you could combine any two sports to make one hybrid sport, what would you combine?
I would combine the Kentucky Derby with NASCAR. Because
so that'd be horses and jockeys on a pavement.
They're just racing each other. I'd like to think some horses get run over.
Oh, cars. And, oh, I got you.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Except the horses have to race backwards against the traffic.
Well, that and how about the jockeys?
Whoever survives is the true champion.
Well, let's make it interesting.
You better get at it, Seabiscuit. Get agile there.
How about the jockeys also have to like ride on top of the cars? See how long you can hold on for 220 miles an hour.
Yeah, there you go.
While the horse flies at you.
While the horse come at, you know, opposite direction. Any two sports.
To make like a real, like to make another sport, yeah. You know, like we've got, what's some hybrid sport? You know, we've got like disc golf. It's frisbee, which isn't really a sport, and golf.
Well, have you heard about the soccer golf?
That's exactly what I was getting at.
All right.
Foot golf, as it's called.
Okay.
And the actual, it's FIFG, Federation for International Foot Golf, is a thing. It was established in North America in 2011.
Shocking. Let me guess. I'm gonna say Colorado somewhere, maybe.
That's the thing. It's pretty ambiguous. Doing some research, nobody really can say for certain where it originated. It was just established with this FIFG in North America.
Humboldt County, California.
Probably.
These are just my guesses. I mean, I'm not. You know.
Could be. It would make sense. Yeah. But yeah, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's soccer combined with golf.
Yeah.
You're on literally a golf course, but you're kicking a soccer ball down the fairway. And then the pin. Yeah, the still has a pin. You pull it out, but the hole is made wide enough for the golf ball or the soccer ball to go in.
Right.
And it's actually...
They just modeled them after Jenny McCarthy's vagina. They're like, we need a mold of your vagina. Yeah, that's big enough.
For a new sport.
Yeah, don't worry why. Just lay down, let us get a mold of that thing. We're going to need more mold. We're going to need more. More clay. We don't have enough. This goes deep. I didn't realize. Sorry, Jim.
Deeper.
Yeah, it's like Journey to the Center of Jenny McCarthy.
Basically, Jenny McCarthy gets balls in her.
Yeah, she's a whore. And a dumb whore.
That's another topic, though.
Yeah, that's sorry to get off topic. But, you know, I was actually supposed to play that on the 4th of July.
Foot golf?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's actually a course in Spokane.
Yeah, Eagle Ridge off the 195 going towards Pullman.
So is that a golf course and foot golf course?
Yep, it's a par 3 golf course, and they'd have the...
So is it like a completely separate course, or do they just have like another bigger hole on the green?
I don't know. I didn't go. I got too drunk.
Well, it's 4th of July. It's your American birthright. So
I didn't see the fireworks on 4th of July. I was passed out when the fireworks started.
You've seen one fireworks show, you've seen them all. Who cares?
Yeah.
But, yeah, because I saw that interview on KXLY with the guy that owns that, and I couldn't tell if it was a separate course, because it seems like golf courses already take up so much space, so much land, and there's already houses and other shit around it, so it's like, can you really make another course next to it? You have
know.
To kind of some convert it somehow.
I don't know, honestly, but I know it's out there. We were supposed to go play. We ended up just getting too drunk and kicking a ball around a park in Perry Street.
So basically, you've heard of urban golf. It's like urban foot golf then.
Urban foot golf?
Yeah. kicking a soccer ball around in Paris.
Oh,
Street.
Is that okay?
Yeah, it's like urban golf is where there was like this
big
movement.
Yeah, we animated that. We were doing that. Yeah, before the time where it was cutting edge.
Nice, of course. Good. Yeah, I like it.
So
I like it. So yeah, so that's a thing. There was actually a World Cup that was held in Hungary.
Okay. Wow, this is worldwide now.
But yeah, so it's worldwide. So back to the origin of it, it was introduced, the FIFG was introduced in North America in 2011. However, some Spanish actual soccer player said that he was introducing his friends to it in 2008. So
ooh,
it's,
we got
it's,
some controversy here.
We
do.
What is
the origin of...
It is worldwide, though. So it's, I don't want to say it's sweeping the nation or sweeping the world, but it's gaining some momentum. And the thing about it is anybody can really play. You suck at golf,
well,
but you still want to act like you play golf?
Not a paraplegic.
They could throw it.
Okay, well, you got to kick it, though. That's the point.
Yeah, well, you've seen soccer. Goalies can throw. You can throw it when you're on the side. Right. So, you know, they're
I feel like Stephen Hawking wouldn't be good at it. It's my second Stephen Hawking references. I've almost hit my quota of Stephen Hawking's reference. I'm sorry, Stephen. I've got nothing against you.
What? Speaking of Stephen Hawking, what is charred and black and sitting at the top of the stairs? Stephen Hawking after house fire?
Okay.
I feel like I had to throw that in there. I mean, we're talking about him being in a wheelchair.
Come on, man. Jesus. Have some respect for
but he's
him.
A smart man.
Yeah, very smart man.
World-class foot golf player.
Hmm. Yeah, you should see him. I'm just happy they're finally doing something with the soccer ball that doesn't suck. Because, Jesus Christ.
Dude, you're the only Mexican I know that doesn't like soccer.
I could give a shit less, dude. I don't know. That gene skipped right over me. I don't give a flying fuck. All my cousins love it, and I'm just like, no.
All 130 of them?
Yes, all of them. Even the legal ones like it.
Yeah.
So it's terrible. I have no interest. It's a month. We just had a month of World Cup. Do you realize that was a month long?
A month?
Yeah.
Damn, time flies.
Oh, God. I can't. And Germany won. Yay.
Oh, so it's over.
It's over today.
Okay.
I think so.
And Germany won. Of course Germany won. Don't they always win?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I feel like Latin countries always win. But I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Good point. They probably know.
They seem like they're always good at soccer. I'm not.
Yeah. Same. We've talked about this before. I dig the universalness, universality. I dig how universal soccer is.
Yeah.
It's cool that all you need is a semi-flat surface, whether it be on gravel, dirt, grass, you name it. You need a ball and something to kick it between, and you've got a soccer game. I think that's super cool. That's why it's so universal. Anyone can play it and get into it. I dig that aspect of it, but watching it is so goddamn boring.
Well, dude, it's universal because any fucking, you know, in an AIDS internment camp in Ethiopia, you can get a ball and some dirt. You know, people
mm-hmm.
have their emaciated legs try and kick it just enough so their sores don't open up, but they gotta, you know.
Keep it working.
You know, the... All in, you know, only the in Sierra Leone, the kids with their hands still get to be the goalies. So that's so.
Oh, blood diamond jokes.
Oh God, yeah, it's funny because it's true. So
the best kind of humor. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
As you say, we got a guest coming up here, but it's about time for a break. Get a word in for our sponsor, and we'll be right back.
Let's do it. Listen up, people. This is Dees. I'm here to tell you, for all your website needs, you need to go to jenswebdesign.net. She's cheap and she's easy and she'll take care of you. Websites are for everyone. You need one. Everyone's got one. It's like herpes. Look, go to jenswebdesign.net. That's .net, not .com. That .com age is over. It's not 2001. Live in the now. Go to jenswebdesign.net. Tell the typical bastard sent you, and you'll get taken care of well. Now back to the show. All right. Welcome back, everyone. We're here with the typical bastards, second half of the social hour here. And joining us is Rockwell Rudder. Welcome to the studio, Rockwell.
Welcome.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate
it. Our pleasure.
So, Rockwell, tell me a little about what you do, Rockwell. I know you're pretty well known down here, downtown here in the social scene. Do a lot of business with kind of the nightlife scene.
You are? And I want to say online marketing guru. You're an entrepreneur.
That's one way of putting it.
Board game developer. Tell us about it.
Sure. Well, I do a lot of different things. I got my start in the social media game and was helping out small businesses and nonprofits, helping them with their Facebook, Twitter presence online. And I found that most of them were asking me, you know, we've got our social media stuff going, but now we need more website stuff. Do you guys do websites?
Okay,
sure.
And at the time, I knew nothing about websites.
And this is back when, approximately?
2009, 2010.
Okay.
A couple years. And I didn't know anything about websites at all. So I, of course, said, absolutely, we do websites.
Yeah, so yeah, sure we do. And we'll find somebody who does.
Yeah, exactly. So I learned WordPress and, you know, some HTML, some CSS, you know, whatever it took to build the site that they needed to have. And over time started to transition the business from social media to websites, and that kind of turned us into more of a marketing company versus a, you know, only social media. And along the way, I've done a lot of different side projects. And so I guess the best way to explain what I do is I make websites, and that sustains the day-to-day, and then what I really do is the side projects, you know, whatever those might be.
Okay.
How many of those are porn?
Most.
Most, okay, that's what I figured. Yeah. I assumed so. I just wanted to be fair.
It's,
you know,
it's exhausting.
You were dancing around it. I wanted to, like, just put it out there for everyone.
Let's cut the chase.
Yeah, let's just be real here. So, like, I mean, so do you have a company then? You have a company name of yours that you...
Yeah, my...
You're allowed to plug it. You can shamelessly
plug
it.
Oh, sure. Terrific. So, yeah. Well, most of what I do is shameless, so that fits. My core company is called Seven. And that's the marketing, the websites, the social media.
Okay. Seven?
Yeah, number 7EN.
Okay. Is that related to the Spokane 7, that new Spokane 7 magazine website?
No.
Okay, not
no,
related.
That's
okay.
Inland Different. Or no, that's Spokesman Review. Well, that's like their social, that's their foray into social media. And
yeah.
They're trying to be the Inlander, basically, without shit.
It's not going to work.
Well, fuck them anyway.
Yeah.
They stole your idea.
Whoa, it's not going to work? They're advertising on the side of the buses. What?
That's the money demographic. Yeah. Right there. That's what they call the money demographic. All right? That's where it's at. I've seen those people at the plaza.
They've made over 10 million food stamps already
this year.
That's right. You take, where's the Papa John's EBT card? What do we got here? What are we advertising to? Yeah, there's... they got the track phones, prepaid phones.
No, they're called burners.
Yeah, the burners, right?
That's the streets.
I'm sorry. I'm not up on the lingo. I've been listening to my recent hip-hop.
I watched HBO's The Wire. Khalifa.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of figure out how this stuff goes. Yeah.
you're with it.
I'm still on Law & Order, so I don't know. Ice-T hasn't gotten to the burners. Yeah, yeah. Where's Dick Wolf to inform you when you need him? So 7 is your company, and I mean, how'd you get started in that?
Well, I'll tell you exactly how I got started. I was in my final year of the marketing program out at Eastern.
Okay.
And
are you from Spokane?
Okay.
Yeah.
Born and raised. I spent a little time in San Diego, a little town called Sela. I'd recommend San Diego.
I'm from Southern California, I grew up in L.A., spent a lot of time in San Diego. It's pretty nice.
I went to Disneyland once.
Yeah. Anaheim's cool, too. San Diego is, it's like L.A. if it didn't suck, you know?
Yeah.
That's everything L.A. should
San Diego being called.
You know? Yeah, it's great. Suck. And it's so close to Mexico, but there's less Mexicans. I don't know.
My favorite part about it is when you go down there and they've actually got, like, you know, like the street signs up here that say, you know, crosswalk ahead, except it's like a family.
Yeah.
It's like fleeing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's
right.
Right
on the freeway.
Yeah,
don't run
over families.
Here's what I was like, do we need a sign for that? Like, otherwise I'm going to be flying on the freeway and be like, just plow them down and be like, well, I didn't see a fucking sign. I realized I was supposed to run over this family of Mexicans trying to just save this.
I could
come to a better life.
Yeah.
You know? favorite part of that is there's if you notice on those signs, there's the little girl on the end, and she's literally
like
completely
almost
horizontal.
Off the ground.
She's on the ground, like flying. Like Superman said, like they are running so goddamn fast.
No, where are they running from? That's the question.
Oh, God. I like thinking from
us.
Yeah, exactly. They're running from our cars. It's like a giant game of Frogger. It's Browner. The
Beaner.
The arcade game. That's the, I think that should be an app. That's going to be the new Fruit Ninja.
I remember a road trip. My dad and I were on. We were coming back from coming to San Diego, and I asked what that sign was all about. And he says, "Well, that's to let people know to watch out for the aliens." And in my 7-year old mind, I thought,
you didn't think
aliens. I just spent the whole rest of the day looking out the window looking for little green men.
Just little aliens. They're like, Jesus Christ. The sign says they're black. I thought they were. Yeah, it's great. No,
we need them to work at the Taco Bell.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the In-N-Out because it's California.
Yeah, that's right. I feel like anyone from any other state would be wildly confused if they saw that sign.
So people have to cross the street fast. Our crosswalk signs is like a business person. It's like he's got like a briefcase.
Like a fedora. He's going to work and he's got a highball and a snifter in his hand. These guys are
regular Don Draper.
Thin cigarettes.
That's right. It's like the little John Waters mustache and shit like that. The little pencil stash.
Not down there though.
Yeah, it should just be like a fucking donkey wearing a sombrero, and you're like, I get it.
Basically.
Don't kill Mexicans. All right. Like,
because the sign is there, it's not okay to run over jaywalkers.
Yeah. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known. So you lived in your from Spokane.
Back in Spokane, where people purposely don't stop for crosswalkers, despite the sign.
Well, Spokaneites are notorious for jaywalking.
You ever
seen that? It's like crosswalks are nothing.
No.
It's just a waste of paint.
As a man who doesn't really oblige red lights either, I'm pretty freewheeling when I drive. I kind of just command the road.
It's the Wild West.
You're from Southern California. Is that where the California roll comes from? Like the terminology? Just roll through a stop sign at red light?
Right? That's
how it should be. No one's coming? Cool. Bam.
No, I know. We're all adults. Like, if I come up to a red light and there's no one coming, I just fucking roll, dude.
But see, that's where the logic breaks down. Is you're a smart person, and that's okay
for smart people
to do. Yes, but not everyone is smart.
Well, no, that's I do not endorse this for most people because you're going to sideswipe me
because two people are going to be there at crossways and think, no,
they'll stop. I got this. I got this. Just slam right into each other, be chaos. Good.
Exactly.
I like attrition. Those are the people that. It's just Darwin.
It's Darwin selection.
Yeah, at its best, man. Let them go. I think it should be like that scene out of the Gremlins where they disable all the streetlights and cars just start wrecking into each other. Just give me 3 days of that, and we will be down to the essential society that actually should exist, and we would live in a utopia. So that's
who would come up with a cure for cancer tomorrow?
Yeah, we'd be all
true.
We'd be fine. Like, yeah, we got it. It's good. Everyone live for free blowjobs and steaks for everyone tomorrow. Let's do this. It's
what more can you ask for?
Yeah, really. That's all you have to be. It'd be great. I can't wait. Let's do it. I want to make
sure. All right, so back on topic. From Spokane.
Anyway,
you start 7.
You have a legitimate professional business you're trying to promote.
Yeah.
Or you did before you did the podcast.
I used to.
Yeah. Remember those days? So from Spokane, you started how?
I was my last quarter at Eastern, I picked up a copy of the Wall Street Journal someone had left, and there was an article about people that were becoming social media managers for other companies.
Okay,
yeah.
And I read this article. It was a short article, a quarter page or whatever, and I read it, and these guys were saying they interviewed guys all over the country, and the guys were saying, I make, $5,000 a month doing this, $10,000 a month doing this, and I just manage Facebook and Twitter for a handful of businesses. I thought,
pretty good.
I could do that.
Sure.
I could do that.
I think I'm qualified for that.
Yeah.
I have a Facebook page.
Yeah. Right. And I think that's how most people get started in social media.
I think I have Facebook on my computer.
Right. Yeah, I just downloaded it.
Yeah, let me get past YouPorn and let's see if I think somewhere.
Yeah. I'm more of a red tube man myself.
All right.
That makes sense.
Well, you know. I have to jump around.
Yeah.
I don't really get bored easily.
Variety is the spice of life,
that's
as
exactly
they say.
Right.
Yeah, I finished Red Tube.
Yeah, I'm done.
You lost all of it.
Yeah, I'm done.
You exhausted it.
It's like, there's no more, we have nothing left for you. Yeah. Why are you still here?
Right, right. Yeah. I'm not married. I don't want to do a replay.
let's do this again. Still young. Give me a power bar and a Red Bull, and let's do this again.
Yeah.
Let's start it. I just go power alphabetically. Hour. Yeah, just alphabetically through them.
Okay, water, Gatorade, and vitamins.
Yeah, let's do this.
You're
the
set.
Essentials.
You know, you're
set. Hook up an IV and just whack off all day.
You can't dehydrate then.
Yeah, that's right. It's
just keep going. Marathon it.
Too old for that. I can't do it anymore, man. Too old. At 31, it just doesn't work anymore like
yeah.
that. That's...
Okay. We keep getting off topic. Okay. So back to the business.
So you were beaten off to the Wall Street Journal.
Totally.
And
well, I saw this article. I thought, yeah, I could totally do that. And I started making a list in my notebook, you know, at school, right there in the class, of all the different companies that I know the owners of or the managers of, and thinking, you know, what could I offer them? I came up with a services list and, you know, kind of all fleshed out the business right there in my notebook.
All right.
And my first client was the Spokane Valley Chamber of Commerce. And the CEO of that happened to be one of my professors for a quarter, like 2 or 3 years prior.
All right.
And we had hit it off and we kept in contact. So I hit her up. And they were my first client, and then through the chamber, I sort of met a lot of other people, and they hired me on, and then the rest was history.
That's kind of history, huh? So, who are some? Thank you. Who are some of your clients after that? I mean, who are some people we'd know that you?
Oh gosh, I did a lot of small businesses, but
any Spokane names?
Let's see. The Spokane Coeur d'Alene Living, you know, with the magazine.
Oh, Emily?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bozzi?
Yeah, the
Bozzi. I know Emily real well.
Oh, yeah, she's great. She's great. I worked with them. Actually, I started the DealPlanet.com with Vince.
Okay.
Yeah, and he actually still owns that to this day. Mm-hmm. I sold him my half. Let's
see. That was like the Spokane Groupon, right?
Exactly.
For lack of a better term.
Oh, that's exactly what it is, yeah.
Yeah,
that was a fun project. We made a lot of money doing that.
Cool.
We
how'd you promote it?
You know, mostly it was through Facebook.
Okay.
You know, we'd have ads in Vince's magazines, but you know, I don't know how good or bad those did. You know, it's hard to sort of track.
It's an interesting readership for that magazine too, because you know, I don't know their reach is interesting. I guess all I want to say without getting into it too much. I mean, you know, who they reach and how they reach them. I mean, you see it on the supermarket shelves locally, but
right.
How many people are really reaching for it? You know,
it's hard to say. It's
tough. So, but I mean, they work hard. They have a lot of cool events. They do good. I mean, it's a good thing they do.
Yeah.
So, and they're good people. Emily is super sweet.
Oh, I consider Vince to be one of my good friends. He's a good man.
Yeah. So what are you working on these days? What are some of your big projects going on right now? What's moving for Rockwell today?
You got the game company.
Got the game company. That's probably my number one focus right now.
What's that? What's the game?
Well, it's called Zoiden Games.
Okay.
And you can reach us at Zoiden.com, Zoiden.com.
Zoiden, Zoiden.com. Okay.
And we've got probably 16 or 17 different board games or party games, card games, that we've either developed in-house or have bought the rights to.
Okay. Now, is that a local company that are they all based out of Spokane? Or
Yeah, we're just over at the Paulson Center a couple blocks away.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the office, okay.
Mm-hmm. We're currently in the process of going public, which is a really interesting endeavor. I've been learning a lot over the last year.
Is it trading? Like, as in publicly? Or you
like public company,
public,
yeah.
IPO.
Yeah, public trading, yeah.
That's a pretty big deal. That's got to feel good, but...
Yeah,
it's got to be great. I'm currently the president and CEO, and...
So you'll be the one in federal prison in 2 years.
I'm the patsy.
Yeah, got it. Good. Well, I'll put money on your books. for you. Don't worry, you can get a Snickers bar and a pack of smokes on me. You're welcome.
Some top ramen, some soups.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, so going public, I mean, made decision to go public? I mean, why go public as opposed to stay private like you guys were?
Well, you know, it's really about how big we want to be.
Sure.
And, you know, we could stay private and come out with a couple of different games a year and make money and, you know, reinvest that in the company and focus on what are the most fun games we could create and do a few a year.
Yeah.
But going public, what that allows us to do is by selling the stock of the company, you know, the value that's already there, we can sell that en masse to everyone.
Right.
And then we get this huge cash influx.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so then all of a sudden we're able to go way bigger, way faster.
Sure.
So instead of a handful of games a year, we can do a couple dozen games a year.
Sure.
Just hammer these out.
So I'm curious because I'm a huge card fan. Like, I was actually looking into your Captoons.
Oh, yeah,
sure. Something you have coming up here. You have a Kickstarter coming up for it,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome. To kind of like just bring it down to its base, could you describe it kind of as like a Cards Against Humanity? Like similar, like in the same vein?
It's that same sort of humor.
Okay.
While theirs is very much explicit and in your face, sort of sexual, risque.
Trying to be edgy, like, yeah this is adults. Yeah, I get you.
Ours is a little more more weighted on innuendo. Mm-hmm. It's a little more subtle,
okay.
A little more more cool.
A little more refined, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that underlying thread of sexuality and fun and party game, it's definitely there.
That sounds awesome. So, as someone that loves board games and card games like that, I'm very curious. So, when you put a company together like Zoidan, and you have in-house game developers, how do you go about finding these people that develop games? And how does one develop the game? Do you have a head person that's like, I've got this concept for a game, let's develop it as a team? Or like how does that come about?
You know, it happens in different ways. You know, we've got one guy that's been with us for the last couple of years. His name is Raleigh Tesh.
Okay.
And
are these local guys, or you guys probably can work nationally or globally?
We can, and we definitely plan to. Right now, we're all here in Spokane.
You're all national. Or you're all local.
We're all local. But Raleigh, he has been a game developer for decades. He was the World Pente Champion. That's me. The World Pente Champion several years ago.
What's Pente, just real quick for our listeners?
It's a strategy game. Usually you see it in white and black playing pieces, and it's all about putting them on a grid and capturing. It's all about whites and blacks.
You know, whites and blacks.
One side wants to capture the other.
Lincoln is the master.
Fields and landowning. There's no subtlety. I mean, whatever. It's just a game, people. Just no worries. So,
well, we're all about the same age. Remember the old Star Trek collectible card game?
And Star Wars had one like that, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Raleigh created both of those.
No shit.
He cashed out big on those.
Interesting. Okay.
So we've got him working for us and a couple of other guys. Some of the games that we have, people just come to us. And they say, hey, I have this game. You know, I'd love to have it made, but I don't have the resources or the know-how to make that happen. So we say, great, you know, we'll take the game, we'll buy the rights, and then we'll pay you a royalty. And they're thrilled with that.
So are you doing...
Per unit sold royalty, yeah.
They get a percentage.
So it's just online. Is there an app, or did you apps, or is it just...
we definitely do apps. One of my biggest goals for the next couple of years is to transition new games and our existing games into an electronic format.
Mm-hmm.
We've got an app right now out there called Megiddo that we made 2 or 3 years ago. One of our strategy games. And in its first 3 days being on the Apple App Store, it had like 370 downloads.
Is it just on Apple, or are you doing the
it's on Android as well.
Also? No, okay. BlackBerry, because nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, what's BlackBerry?
I know. Who has BlackBerry? Are you a state worker?
That's
who has
my BlackBerry? That's my favorite flavor of Stoli.
I'll take a BlackBerry.
Yeah,
really.
That's about it. So, well, sounds like you got a lot going on, man. That's good. So,
oh, and one other thing I wanted to do.
Yeah, no, please.
What did you want to plug? Because you have a shitload of things going on. I just want to say, on Rockwell's behalf, in researching him and having him on as our inaugural guest here, you got a lot of stuff going on, dude. Artisan craft distilling. You were part of that. You were teaching people how to craft some good spirits.
Yeah, start your own distillery.
You got a lot of things
you guys making.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you got the right equipment, you can make just about anything. I mean, it's all vodka. It just depends on what you put in it.
Sure.
Whiskey or gin or whatever.
Yeah. Sure.
Actually, funny story. We're looking out the window right here at an Italian place across the way called Luigi's. And I met with the owner, Marty Hogberg, a couple years ago.
Okay.
Because I...
That doesn't sound very Italian.
No, it's not. It's not. But I desperately wanted to start my own distillery. And we had done some marketing work for him. And but underneath his building, he has a ginormous basement with just cavernous, tall ceilings.
Underneath the restaurant?
Right there.
Do they keep good food under there?
Yeah,
is that where they hide the good food?
Yeah, you gotta know a guy.
No, nothing against Luigi's. I'm just saying. Anyway.
Say it's fine food. It's fine food. But I met with him, and we were going to start a distillery in there, because it would be the perfect space. Oh, it's huge. Tall ceilings. You get those long column stills in there.
Sure.
It was going to be dynamite. We were moving forward for a couple months, and unfortunately, our funding fell through, so we had to put that on the back shelf. But that kind of led me to, okay, if I can't start my own distillery, maybe I can teach other people how to.
Yeah, and then you just keep a hand in that.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you guys distilling at now?
I don't make anything personally.
You're just involved in people who are...
Yeah, I just help people start their own.
Okay.
Then I had a magazine, because when I started the online deal, I found that there was no centralized information hub for craft distilling in the United States. So I thought, okay, well, if I'm going to create this website to teach people how to do that, how am I going to market that? You know, where am I going to get in front of these people?
Sure.
And I thought, well, you know, it's a kind of an older person sort of industry. You know, they're not all super internet savvy. Maybe I need to kind of step back in time a little bit and launch a print and paper publication.
Sure, to the people reach the demo it's going out to. Makes sense.
And so I did that, and that was super successful. Even to this day, because I don't own it anymore, I sold it. Even to this day, every issue has more advertisers, more pages. Blowing up.
And it's printed, hard printed locally, or still, or what is that? Where does that come out from?
Right out of Spokane.
Wow. That sounds like a lot going on, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Busy guy. I'm glad you can make time to come on at least. Sounds like
appreciate it.
Sure, no, I wouldn't miss this. This is fun.
Yeah, I think you're going to be a regular guest. I'm having a great time.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Well, anything else you want to plug? You good? We got more? What else you got?
Yeah, you have a lot of shit going on.
Anything else you want to talk about?
CapToons.com, support the Kickstarter. Mm. It's going to be awesome. It's a classy version of Cards Against Humanity, if I can say that.
There you go.
Yeah, I would definitely say that.
You got a lot of Facebook pages. Like I said earlier, online marketing guru.
Yeah.
Well, what was the Kickstarter again? Shout that out one more time.
CapToons, right?
That's right.
When's that going off, by the way? When's the Kickstarter start?
Well, the last thing we need to do, we're just in the final stages of firming up our script for the video, and then I'm hoping to be filming within maybe 2 weeks.
Okay.
That'd be perfect for me.
Okay. You got a film crew set up already? Good to go for that?
Yeah. Okay. We got all the equipment, everything. We're all good.
But, okay.
Yeah, if we could do that in the next 2 weeks, maybe start in the next 3 to 4 weeks, that'd be just about perfect.
There you go.
Sweet.
And how the Kickstarter runs for 45 days?
We're going to set it for 30.
30. Yeah. 30 days. What's your goal?
Well, that's the other thing. I'm still on the fence. Right now, I'm thinking somewhere in the low 20,000s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard about this guy who...
The potato salad guy.
I have not heard about it. I'm odd man out. What is it?
This guy, there's probably someone out there that has the cure for cancer if he could just get money. Right. And, like, and no one will donate a goddamn penny.
But this guy's making potato
salad. This guy is going to make potato salad. He put it on Kickstarter. He's going to make potato salad. He's pulled in something like $30,000 already or some shit like that.
He's gone up as far as 70,000.
Jesus.
But people go on and they make like $20,000 donations and then they pull them a few days later. But he's right now averaging a solid $50,000.
$50,000 to make a bowl of potato salad.
On Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What, I'm so confused. Like, what do you mean? Like, people are paying him to make a bowl of potato salad?
Oh, it's not any more difficult than it sounds.
So like, this guy is getting paid $50,000 to make a bowl of potato salad.
Uh-huh.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
And one of the rewards that people get is while he's making it, he will say their name out loud.
Yeah.
It was like, Zach, Marsha, Luke, Davis, Brian, like as he's like making potato salad. That's it.
That's
like,
it.
Like on his YouTube video.
He didn't say if he was going to record it. He's just going to say it.
Look, I only donated 200, so yeah, you know. Well, I didn't get my name shouted out. He thinks my name.
I was going to say hopefully he writes twice.
He writes my name in the potatoes with the stir is what he does for 200.
And then scratches it out for the next scratch, name.
Yeah, right. That's right. It's but
Jesus,
you know,
Christ.
I feel like it's worth it. Put it on my resume.
Probably was.
I was in that potato salad.
Yeah. I was a part of that.
I was a part of the potato salad.
Making history.
Yeah, I'm going to make shirts, send them out.
So, last question about that for me, though. How do you plan to promote your Kickstarter? Let me say this before. I'm sorry to interrupt again. Reddit.
Oh, Reddit's huge.
You're familiar with Reddit?
Oh, yeah.
Are you a user on there? Do you have a user
name? I am.
Do you feel comfortable giving out your username?
Absolutely not.
Okay, that's all I could do. I've been a Redditor for about 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
My main username is like 2.5 years old. I'm such an asshole to people on Reddit. There's no way I'm going to give out my username. So I totally feel you. But that's how I find most Kickstarters is on Reddit.
Sure,
like
yeah.
Like on Shut Up, Take My Money, mm-hmm. Things like that. So what are you doing to promote the Kickstarter?
Well, part of my activities the last few months is I've been creating this media list. And that's been it's a database of people that talk about board games, talk about party games.
They are board games on Reddit?
That's a huge one. That's a huge one.
Okay.
But people that, you know, have YouTube channels or Twitter accounts, this and that. And we're going to be reaching out to them. We're going to be sending them a lot of our prototype games. And hopefully that'll generate a little bit of buzz. We'll ask them to promote the Kickstarter to their fans. Mm-hmm. But I guess most excitingly,
but best of all,
we've been talking with Will Wheaton's agent.
No shit.
And
on Reddit, user/Will, W-I-L.
Is that what he is?
That's he is. Yeah, he's if you actually, you know how you can look at, side topic, side note, if you go on Reddit. You got to get on Reddit, by the way, Deese.
I have not.
Be careful.
You should.
I haven't done it yet. It'll suck.
It will suck you in.
You know,
in.
I've tried, and I'm probably just using it wrong.
Probably.
I just don't.
Probably.
I'm not.
Do
I
you
can't.
Use mobile or desktop?
I've done both. I just mobile's can't, I just don't really like. I don't
get Bacon Reader. That's what I
get. I don't get
Bacon
Reader.
I use Reddit News.
Yeah, I don't seem to get it or know where like the entertaining or good stuff is.
I will teach you. But yeah, so user Will Wheaton, his username is just W-I-L.
Perfect.
And you know how you like you can check out like users and like you can see like see what their karma points are, mm-hmm. and things like that. Will, it shows like their experience. Will Wheaton, he's like basically from the start. I mean, fuck, how old do you have to be to have like W-I-L
as a three-letter username? Totally. Come on.
Well, what else is he doing? Jesus Christ.
He did Stand By Me and then, like, was it Deep Space Nine?
Oh, Next Generation.
Like Next Generation.
Oh, Generation.
Come on.
No, Will Wheaton is not Next Generation.
Yeah, he's Beverly Crusher's son.
Yeah, Wesley Crusher.
Next Generation.
Yeah.
Isn't that Captain Picard?
Yeah.
He was the worst character of all time. Everyone hated him.
Is that the only Star Trek he's on? I thought Will Wheaton was Deep Space Nine.
He might have appeared in it.
Okay.
No, he wasn't on Deep Space Nine.
Okay, well, I'm not a virgin, so sorry, I don't know about that fucking Star Trek shit.
I go to Star Trek conventions. I know.
Okay, so back to the on-point topic.
I've been to the San Diego Comic Con. I took a girl home who took a girl
who's dressed up like
Wonder Woman. So
really?
You want it? Hell yeah, dude. You want You want to talk about a good night?
Wow.
Look, that was decent Rudder slapping cocks, yeah, FYI. Yeah. You're
flaccid.
Did you show her your invisible condom?
Oh my god, yeah, this is my... these are my bracelets that deflect deflect all syphilis.
STDs.
STDs, don't worry. The lasso of truth, is this your first time? Yes! Damn it!
God.
Well, I used to. I am a large comic book nerd. I will admit this. I used to go to the San Diego Comic Con every year, and I get a nice hotel room downtown San Diego. I'd stay for like a week, and look, I'm not a 10. But I'm probably a better looking guy than most of the guys you're going to find at a fucking comic book convention.
Well, sure. You're not fat and have a ponytail, yeah.
And I don't live with my parents.
Next beard.
Yeah, so I have a nice hotel room. I'd go there and it was too easy. It was...
Really? Fish in a barrel.
Jesus. Slaying it.
It was easier than plentyoffish.com.
You were the dungeon master.
Like, it was easier than getting single moms on plentyoffish.com, okay? Like, it was just like... Dude, it was...
A single mom... Just to specify, a single mom from the north side of Spokane on Plenty of Fish.
Yeah.
It was easier than that.
Easier than that. It was just, yeah, all I have to do. Yeah, yeah. Hey.
Yes.
Hey, I've got Cheap Trick concert tickets. You want to come?
Then we can go to the concert.
Yeah, every girl from Hilliard just got wet.
Okay, so that's what we were. Sorry. Something about Will Wheaton and games. Well,
yeah, we're going to try to get him to promote. In fact, we even just made a Will Wheaton cartoon just for the Captoons game.
Cool.
And hopefully that'll catch his attention.
You know, I love it. It's so funny because, guys like that, like Will Wheaton and stuff. Like, I do some filming on the side. We do some sketch comedy. I'm writing an online comedy show. We're filming things like that. And I told the guys I work with, I go, what do you think it would cost to get Lorenzo Lamas to be in our show?
I don't know who that is. Can you explain?
He was in The Renegade. Actually, you know who I really wanted was Mario Van Peebles.
No, I don't know.
Okay, am I the only... I feel like I'm the only fucking guy who knows who Mario Van Peebles is.
I watched a show, like an old school show on Netflix recently. It said Mario Van Peebles in the credit. And I remember that because you and I have talked about Mario Van Peebles. But I don't remember who he is.
He was like, yeah, I do.
That's kind of your thing.
Well, you know, I've got the cardboard cut out. We talk all the time at home. Over breakfast. Mario Van Peebles, how's your eggs Benedict?
You stand in front of it like masturbate vigorously.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Are we plateauing too hard, by the way?
Just laughing.
I'm just looking at like the audio recorder. We'll gonna be like just boof 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 like 99 like 1998 bassline in like people's cars?
That's like Creeping on a Come Up, Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yeah, as I was gonna say, that's probably good.
Take it back to 1994.
So for those of you who, yeah, exactly, driving around in like your fucking 1998. Altima.
You can fix it in post.
Yeah, that's right. I've got $2,500 worth of wheels and $1,200 of the car.
Yeah. Like living the South.
Way to go.
So, $10 in my pocket.
Yeah. No shit.
Total.
All right. Well,
Shandy or one of these?
Yeah, another beer?
I'll try the Shandy.
Well, we're going to jump into a little more news if you want to hang out, Rockwell.
Yeah, you want to hang out with everybody? We're having a good time.
Absolutely.
So.
All right, so you plugged everything you want to plug? Talk about your biz?
You
got anything else to plug?
No, I think we're good.
All right, let's jump into some local shit. We've got a couple of interesting things to discuss. We'd like to get your opinion on it because you're a downtown dweller as well.
Sure.
I pulled this one off the internet recently, which was top 10 best local restaurants.
Mm.
Okay. Now, very, objective or subjective, obviously, very like objective, I should say. Or subjective.
It's subjective.
Objective.
Objective. Thank you. They went north side to south hill, so I think they're really trying to hit a variety of locations. But as for top 10 best local restaurants, I do not agree with this list. So I want to get you guys.
Where did this come out? Who published this?
I think I got this off of. It's off the Culture Trip, but I think there's .com? Link on Krem, is where I pulled it.
Probably
off.
Probably so.
So. Tell me what you guys think. It's in no particular order, but we're just going to go through these.
Okay.
First of all, Casper Fry.
Has everyone been there?
That's on South Perry District. Perry District. I have never been there.
I've been there. My friend Gary is actually the bar manager there.
Gary Cooper?
Yeah.
I love Gary Cooper.
Gary Cooper.
And I are great friends.
Yeah.
Do you want to know how Gary Cooper and I met?
Oh.
The old Revolver, when they were still on Riverside.
Sure.
The old Revolver, when they were still on Riverside, I went in there one night, and I may have been slightly intoxicated.
You probably were. Yeah,
Gary Cooper was playing guitar there, you know, acoustic guitar there.
You know, he's been talking to me for years about playing publicly. How long ago was this?
Oh, this was 4 years ago.
Okay, probably. All right, yeah.
And he's playing acoustic guitar there, and again, I didn't know him at the time. But he played, he's playing his set list, or whatever, he's just playing songs. And then he breaks out a song, which you may remember, I Wish I Was a Little Bit Taller by Skilo.
Mm.
On acoustic guitar.
Wish I were a little bit taller.
Yeah, I wish it was a baller. I wish I had a rabbit in a hat with
on acoustic guitar.
Yeah, and I was like, this guy's a genius. Right? I think I might have just met a genius. You know,
he is.
My new best friend. And I went and talked to him, and we chatted. Just one of the nicest guys in the world. And I met him, and then not long after that, he was in there playing again. And I asked him to play it, and he's like, I don't know. Whipped out $20 out of my pocket. I put it in his tip jar, and I said, just think about playing it.
Right, yeah.
Next song up.
Give it a thought.
Yeah, it was a Skilo. I wish it was a little bit taller. But, great guy. Super nice. I didn't realize he was bar manager there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. It's a good restaurant. I don't know if it's top 10 in Spokane.
I don't think so. I think they put that on that list because it's in the Perry District.
It's trendy.
Which is sort of trendy, sort of coming up.
And because it's unique.
And they had to pick one.
And, well, right. You got to pick something in that demo. There's nothing else like it in Spokane.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, so right off the bat, like, clearly they're picking by location and style. They're not actually picking 10 best. Or maybe they really think they are.
You think they're picking this stuff?
So, anyway, so Casper Fry, decent food. I mean, I want to say good food, but, like, a little pricey. Ambiance is okay. Beyond that, not top 10. Not top 10.
Okay, okay.
They maybe make top 25.
Sure.
So, yeah, totally. You know. Here's one that absolutely makes top 10, in my opinion. Wild Sage.
Never been there.
Great date place.
Yes. That's very true. Great date place. Good wine selection. What's her name? Ryan's girlfriend used to work there. Stephanie.
Okay.
Great wine selection. Good food. Obviously a little pricey, but...
Yeah, but you take a girl there, you know, for a nice night out, you know, anniversary, first date, you know. They want to impress someone.
Yeah, there you go.
Is that the one on South Hill or downtown?
That's the one right across the street from
the Russian church.
Right, yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
Left Bank's over.
I'm thinking Herbal Essence. That's
where Sage is, down on 4th.
Yeah.
Third.
Second.
One of those.
Across
it's still open.
Yeah, it is still very good food. Great place.
Okay.
Really, really amazing. And it's kind of off the beaten path, so I feel like it doesn't get a lot of the normal traffic downtown gets.
Oh,
but
great.
They seem to be...
You can't walk there because there's nothing around there from where you would walk.
Well, there is the Red Dragon. I mean, that's within walking distance.
Well, who doesn't want that?
They do. They have belly dancing and shitty stand-up comedy.
Belly dancing?
On Fridays.
Isn't that an Indian thing? As in East Indian?
Yeah.
Don't overanalyze it.
Okay, fair enough.
Here's a new place that I went to once, Fire Artisan Pizza. Again, I feel like it's they're picking a trendy spot. Like, I like it's not
my
bad.
My friend Kellen works there. It's not a bad spot. I went there once and stood there in the doorway for like 5, 7, 8 minutes, and no one came up. So my group and I left.
Like Steelhead, basically. Yeah. Notorious for slow service.
Yeah.
My whole thing on that is, fuck designer pizza. It's like, I don't need, like, artisanal pizza. It's like, no, I don't need, like, fucking pineapple and artichoke hearts on my goddamn pizza.
Yeah, I don't need, like, kale. And,
yeah,
you know.
Seriously.
I went to the Boiler Room today.
How was that?
You know.
Is it legit pizza or what?
It was a pizza that I would say would be about the size of a large watermelon, you know, flattened.
Okay.
And it cost me, like, $16. It was 30% crust around the edges.
Okay.
The pizza was actually pretty good. It was okay.
Flavor-wise, it was good.
Yeah, that's fine.
Value-wise, it was...
Value-wise, not so much. Fair. But what really turned me off was that they've got cement walls a cement floor, and it's an open, cavernous space, and so it was so loud.
Yeah, oh, it's like Jones Radiator, man. That they do live music there. You've been to Jones, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, my friend Kelly works there.
Okay, yeah, good spot. Great selection on the spirits, especially. But it is just one gigantic concrete room.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible for live music. It deafens you.
Yeah, it's I haven't been to Boiler Room yet. I just don't get up north to eat or drink.
Who does?
Right. Yeah.
Where is the Boiler Room, by the way? Like, where exactly?
It's right off Cedar in Ash.
Give me a landmark. Like, what's it near?
It's by 5 Mile Pizza.
Okay, that's way the fuck up there. Okay,
way the fuck up there, dude.
But that's owned by the
it's owned by Maddie's involved in it.
Okay, so it's like the Baracho, those Fast Eddie's people, or
yes and no. Like, okay. J-Mart's got no affiliation with it, but like Maddie.
Is Jeremy Tang in it?
I think it's Maddie's thing, not Jeremy's.
Matt.
What the hell's his last name? Shoemaker.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Shoemaker?
Something like that. He
always wears those little Fidel Castro type hats. Like,
I
know. You know what I'm talking about?
The flat top.
And it's like a built, yeah.
Anyway, the Fire Artisan Pizza thing, it's like, it's a trendy thing right now. You know, I don't mind it, but it's, when I want pizza, I'm usually hungover. I don't want fucking gourmet pizza.
Yeah, exactly.
I want Pizza Hut delivered to my house for $10.
Right. Yeah. You don't want avocado as a topping. Yeah. You want real fucking pizza. Right. Yeah, I get that.
So, next is a place I've never been to, but everyone raves about, is Madeline's.
Okay, right downtown.
Never been there.
You know where it is, right downtown across the main...
Across from the Apple Store.
Yep.
To me, I've been there, having lived downtown, I've gone there a few times to keep it short, because we still have, six restaurants to go. Basically, it is the French cafe downtown, well-respected, well-loved. They've got a fuckload of pastries.
Mm-hmm.
They will make a fucking fat kid diabetic happy as balls. But it's, like Steelhead, it is notoriously slow service. Yeah. You go there on, a Sunday, Saturday morning. The way it works, you don't go in and seat yourself or get seated. You have to stand in line in front of, all the food casings.
Oh, so you gotta salivate a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah,
get you wet before you come.
Yeah, but here's the thing, too. If you're just trying to get some breakfast food, like a scramble, they do have some good scrambles. Like a country scramble, they call it, which is like eggs with some veggies in it. You know,
ham
a scramble,
or some shit. Yeah.
You have to stand.
I can do the math. Scramble. You got it. I've had breakfast once or twice.
Is that a drink?
Yeah.
What is that? Country scramble.
Is that some sort of gay porn move?
I gave him the scramble.
Yeah.
Was that first the Brokeback Mountain?
Yeah, I gave him the country scramble.
Yeah.
Wasn't walking right for a week after that. Almost dislodged his cornea. Yeah, watch out.
You stand in line to order that shit instead of sitting down. And, you will literally stand in line for 20, 25 minutes.
Ah, fuck
until you can order food. That's what I say. Yeah, fuck that. It's a pain in the ass.
Let's go to Molly's.
Thank you. Molly's is one of my favorite places to eat. Oh, my God. Yes. I love that place.
We go to, breakfast on Tuesday morning before doing the podcast when it's on a weekday. We do different breakfast spots. Molly's was the best. He got, they called it they're like, do you want your breakfast in a bread bowl?
Instead of a regular bowl.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. It was
That's a dumb question.
I called it a bread top hat. It's 8 inches tall, 9 inches in diameter. It's a fucking top hat.
Wow.
Full of food.
It was an uncircumcised black cock.
Wow.
It was just gigantic.
Oh, yeah.
And it was only $7.
It was less, do you want it in a bread bowl? And it's less money. I'm like,
yeah.
Actually, no. I went there for Thanksgiving last year with Gary Cooper.
You have the best holidays.
Hold
on. With Gary Cooper just made it amazing.
Yeah,
so
played Hero Clicks.
Did he bring his guitar? Hero Clicks? All right. So speaking of breakfast places, Frank's Diner is up next on this.
Fuck that place.
The only thing good about that place is it's inside a train car.
Okay, that's awesome when you're 7.
Exactly.
Yeah, right?
I'm an adult.
I was literally about to say.
It's awesome when you're 7 or severely retarded. If you're if you're just barely on the spectrum, you're like, fuck this train, dude. I got trains at home.
Yeah.
You know, but it's.
Here's the thing. I was going to say, that's its best and worst thing. It's like, yes, it's like you said, it's cool because it's in a train car. But that's just a limitation. Only, like, 8 people can eat in there at a time. And, like, people right. wait 45 minutes to get fucking breakfast. Well, it's just not even that good.
And it's yeah. overpriced. It's way yeah. too much money for what it is. Like, I'm not interested in it.
Exactly.
The next place on the list is a place I've heard great things about, never been to, Italia Trattoria, which is in Brown's Edition. I've heard it's amazing.
You know, I've
sounds never... fancy, like, you're going to pay, like, $12 for, like, a fucking crepe full of weird feta.
I've got a couple stories about that place.
All right, let's hear
it. So Beth is the owner, and she actually wrote an article for our magazine because, or not wrote, we interviewed her for an article. What makes her special is she makes cocktails in bulk and then ages them in oak barrels.
Hmm.
Huh. And so they come out tasting amazing.
Oh, well, yeah, it sounds like it.
So that's cool. The restaurant, it's a little overpriced. I took a girl there a couple years ago just on a, let's go grab an appetizer and a couple drinks before she had to go to work. And I couldn't walk out of there for less than $70.
Jesus Christ.
And it was, you know, we didn't even order, like, entrees.
You didn't even have the dinner, you just had...
You know, it's a, you know, appetizer and a couple of drinks. And so price-wise, not so great. Food-wise, dynamite. Drink-wise, dynamite.
But it doesn't hit that perfect cross-section. To me, it's like, it's all about value to price point.
Yeah.
Like, I, when I look for a restaurant, like, personally speaking, my favorite restaurant in Spokane is Scratch.
Love Scratch.
Scratch
and Rain, it's legit, yeah.
And I feel like they have that perfect cross-section where...
Typical Bastards endorses it.
We do, absolutely. We are there. So you can feel free to give us a comp meal next time we're in there.
For all 4 of our listeners, thanks.
It hits that perfect cross-section where you're going to pay more than if you go to, like, The Onion or Red Robin. But for what you get, the value's there. Like, you're not going to pay $40 a person, but you're going to pay... $25 to $30 a person, $32 mm-hmm. or so. I mean, that's just a meal, not including drinks or appetizer. But for an entree, which to me, if it's good enough, I have no problem paying that.
Yeah.
But there's places where you go and you spend $40, $50 bucks. Like,
well,
obviously,
I tell you
places,
what,
you just don't.
On one night of a week, I think it's every Tuesday, you go into Rain and they offer the Scratch
half
menu
price.
Half price.
Love it.
Bargain.
Absolutely. Killer bargain. Because that whole menu is ridiculous. They have a seafood trio.
Ooh.
Oh, God. Killer. Mm. Anyway. Well, I could talk that all night. Next on the list is a place that I've never actually eaten off their regular menu. I've only been there... I've only been there on Sundays when they do their happy hour, which is Steam Plant. I've never actually ordered off their regular menu.
I've done the happy hour there. And happy hour is good. You know, it's $2.75 for a pint.
Yeah,
you know,
the happy hour is great.
Beer mm-hmm. brewed on site. They've actually just scaled back their food menu during happy hour.
Oh,
it used
really?
To be any appetizer.
All the appetizers.
Now it's like 4 or 5.
Ah, God. See that? Yeah.
There's still a couple good ones on there, but it's not what it used to be.
Are the wings still on there?
I don't think so. Because they have big, meaty wings.
Yeah, they'll never see
you them. Did, yeah.
So I've never ordered off the regular menu. Mizuna is on the list.
Never been there. I live like 3 blocks away.
I've never been either.
Never been either.
It seems fancy as shit.
That
was the coaster dropping, FYI people.
Next on the list is a place I used to love and I hate now. It's called Saranac.
I just went there last week.
Started with their Sunday happy hour specials. Happy hour all day. They make fucking great Bloody Marys. Their house-made salsa is to die for, practically. And the chips. It's excellent. They've turned into a hipster joint,
the
man.
Service.
The service sucks.
Oh, really?
It's like they're trying to be the next Steelhead. Steelhead is notorious for their slow service. That's what Saranac's become, which is sad.
Well, no one has dethroned the Elk yet for shitty service.
Good point. Fuck that place.
You gotta sit at the bar.
I don't want to be that close to the fucking hipsters. And then last on the least, see, this is why this list is so odd. Sweet Frosting's Blissful Bake Shop. It's just,
is that the one downtown here?
I don't even know.
Oh, yeah, they're on the corner of First and Washington.
Yeah, next to Brews on Wah. Do you remember Brews on Wah?
Yeah. They used to have trivia night there.
Dude, they did stand-up mics,
mm-hmm.
stand-up comedy open mics. They had, like, a tap selection.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking great coffee.
I don't know why they didn't make it.
I don't either, because everything was
cheap. It was too niche. Too niche. They had a good coffee crowd in the morning, but they couldn't get the evening crowd for people to drink.
That's
there.
It was, you're right, it was coffee crowd.
Yeah.
As, obviously, as we're sitting here, you know, we lived like a block and a half away. We, when they were open, we would go there on Saturday, Sunday mornings to get coffee. And you, like, my girlfriend, she likes to get like the 22 ounce or whatever it is, Americanos with like white chocolate, like the fancy stupid shit.
Oh yeah,
it'd be like $2.50. So obviously cheap as fuck.
Yeah,
but delicious. And like, I'm not a big coffee drinker, but when I do, I like regular coffee with some cream.
Yeah,
it was delicious. It was cheap.
Yeah,
it was. The owners were amazing. Yeah. What was it, Kate and
Ben? Was it Ben?
No. They actually have, like, the mustache club there. The people with the beards, like...
Yeah. They're nice people. They're good people.
Kate was the wife. Who was the owner?
I don't remember. Good people.
It would come, yeah, it was great place. People, so. Great all the way around, but it just couldn't cut it.
Yeah.
It's sad. Yeah. It's sad.
Well, talking about beer, we'll wrap up with our beer of the week. This week, we're talking about the Vanilla Bourbon Stout from River City Brewing over on 2nd and Cedar.
Fucking
not as good as it used to be, though.
Well,
what
were you talking about when they were Coeur d'Alene Brewing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. When they split up, there was a legal agreement that they couldn't use the original recipes, so they had to change them.
No shit.
Yeah. Oh,
when was this?
A couple years ago when they had to be out of Coeur d'Alene.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Still good. Not as good as it used to be. Even better when you do a black and blue. Will you take half vanilla bourbon stout and half their huckleberry?
Yes, I heard about that. Yeah.
Dynamite.
I've never heard of this. Need to try this. Well, I'm still going to endorse the vanilla bourbon stout.
Sure,
for me.
Sure.
It's good. I do love the beer. They've got a great little tap room there.
To me, it's eh.
All right.
I like the beer, but the tap room, it's. Yeah, you like to fucking cycle. Yeah, you like to ride bikes. I get it. Like, I don't need to, like.
I'll just go across the street to Andy's.
Yeah,
right.
They have a pretty good beer selection.
Yeah,
they do. They put on
Andy's.
They put on Rogue's Hazelnut Nectar quite often, which is for my money probably my favorite beer I've ever had. So
I'm not supposed to talk about this, but the whole Andy's thing and the whole company that owns it is in jeopardy. They're looking at getting rid of, I guess it's 412 now, formerly Shots.
Well, good. That place is a dive. That place is like just dumps money. They've been losing money there for a long time.
Supposedly like they're looking at getting out of it.
Well,
I go there 3-4 times a week.
I used to like it when I had buddies at work.
Yeah, that's
what I say. I used to like when I had buddies at work there. Anyway, let's not get into that. Anyway, drink some vanilla bourbon stout from River City Ray. Great local brewery, great beer. They do it right. Support local drinking, support local breweries.
Amen.
So, this has been the Social Hour. Rockwell Rudder, you can find him at, spell that for me one more time, Zayden?
Zoyden.
Zoyden.
ZOYDAN.com.
ZOYDAN.com.
They got their shit going on. Support CapTunes. It's a Kickstarter coming up. CapTunes.com.
That's right.
Keep a lookout for that. And, yeah.
In the meantime, we are the typical bastards. I'm Deese. I'm Brian.
You're Brian. We can change it up. I'll be
Brian. Yeah, I'm Deese. You're Brian.
Deese. I'll be Brian. It doesn't matter. He's Brian. I'm Deese for Rockwell Rudder and the Typical Bastards.
Sponsored by SpokaneVibe.com.
That's right. Thank you very much, guys.
See you next week.